Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Of his long career. Swing, fly ball, deep left field, and Connor Joe got into this one. Home run for Connor Joe. Took that slider out of here for swinging a ground ball through that drawn in infield. Base hit for Connor Joe. Brian Reynolds comes in and Hap bobbles the ball, and Cruz will score on Hap's first error since September of last season. And the Pirates score two more. They're up 10-3 here in the fifth. Swing fly ball out toward the notch and deep. And this one's going to be way back and hitting the roof in the bullpen and bounding back into the field of play. Home run for Christian Bethencourt. Swinging a hard hit ball fair right up the third baseline. It'll hit off the sidewall and bounce back into left field. And two runs are going to score on that double for Bethencourt. He's driven in five today, and the Cubs are right back in this game. It's 10-7. Here's the set. Bases loaded, 0-1. Bethencourt hits it on the ground, sharply past Kiner Falefa, and the Cubs will take the lead. Seven-run lead gone, as Bethencourt has driven in seven runs today for the Cubs.
Ground ball off the glove of IKF, and the Cubs take the lead. Incredible. Kiner Falefa not able to even knock it down. And Bethencourt has given the Cubs an 11-10 lead.
1-2 pitch. And one of the worst losses in the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates today. Historic.
Wow. Wow is all I have to say to that. Listen. In this town, when the Steelers name a quarterback, even though we all knew there was no competition and we knew what Mike Tomlin was going to say, that's the biggest news of the day, let alone when probably their best offensive lineman sustains an injury and is going to miss the opener and a month, and who knows how much longer, and who knows how Isaac Seumalo will be affected by everything. That's the biggest news of the day. Anything Steelers should be the biggest news of the day, but the Pirates keep saying, hold my beer. They won't take no for an answer here, or maybe they won't take yes for an answer when people ask, do you want to just disappear and not be talked about? Oh my God. Did you hear what Greg Brown said at the end of that broadcast? The Pittsburgh Pirates whom I started following in 1971. In fact, my very first sports memory is sitting in the little study, we called it, of my house. My dad was a college professor of Soviet history at Damon College in Buffalo, then Rosary Hill. He was watching the World Series in 1971, and Nelson Briles was on the mound, literally throwing himself onto the ground with pitches. That's what captured my 5 or 6 year old mind at that point. And that's my first sports memory. I started following the Pirates religiously in the 1970s. We didn't have a baseball team where I grew up. They've been around for 143 years, as I just mentioned. And this might have been the most embarrassing three-game series in the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates. They become the story. What do you want me to do? City Limits. They're the story today. I thought the 10-game losing streak was rock bottom in the Derek Shelton era. Silly me. They outdid themselves. They outdid themselves with this. Let's hear if you have the little clip of Greg Brown. I mean, this is not a small thing for Greg Brown, who's been calling games forever, been in the organization forever, to say this after a loss, you know, in some ways a meaningless loss to the Chicago Cubs near the end of August with the Pirates out of it anyways. This is what he said.
1-2 pitch. And one of the worst losses in the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates today. Historic.
I can't get over that. I was watching the game and that just jumped out to me. Limits, you're a fan. You're still a young man. What are you, 25, 24?
23.
23. Anyone for 22? You're 23. I've never seen anything. Well, nobody had. The last 7 years, some guy from MLB.com put out a number here. I don't know where Paul, where's Paul? I don't know. Ideas?
Paul is recording audio of commercials, and he informed me of this before the show. So he is here.
Okay.
He'll be here at some point, I imagine.
Good. Okay. So where was I? Oh. This is the absolute low point of the Shelty era. The guy from MLB.com.
And you know the crazy thing about it is, Joe? You said yesterday that this was the low point of the Shelton era.
I know.
And it just gets worse.
I know. Listen to this number. This guy from MLB.com put out this number. In the last 7 years, teams that have led by 7 or more runs going into the seventh inning were 1,192-0. Well, guess what? Now they're 1,192-1. The Pirates hadn't lost that kind of lead that late in a game since 1974. So when Brown says that, when Greg says that at the end of the game, one of the worst losses in the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates, it's just eye-opening. But here's the crazy thing. I can make a loss. It wasn't a case. It wasn't even the worst loss of this series.
No. No, you could make that case.
The Monday game, they gave up 8 stolen bases and
21 hits.
21 hits and 18 runs. So the 18 runs and the 8 steals, no team had put up those two benchmarks since the 1912 New York Giants, who featured Fred Merkel, who committed Merkel's boner. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not. Did Ron write the story on that?
He might have. He might have interviewed Freddie after the game. It's tragically known as Merkel's boner throughout history. Fred Merkel, when he was a rookie, I believe 1908, and yes, Ron got the first interview upon him being drafted. Now, they didn't even have a draft then, I don't think. Merkel forgot to touch second base in a big September game, and on what should have been the game-winning hit, his team lost and wound up losing the pennant by a game. Hence, forever known as Merkel's boner. Can you imagine going through your entire life knowing that even decades and decades after you're gone, when people hear your name, they're going to automatically say Merkel's boner? How would that...
It's a fascinating name for it, I'll say that.
It's not good. It's not good when that's one of the first...
Couldn't have said error or gaffe.
Right, exactly. There's a whole Wikipedia page called Merkel's boner.
I'm sure that could be misconstrued.
Well, maybe, but, you know, it's a synonym for a mistake. That's all I can say. There's a whole Wikipedia page about that play. It's one of the most infamous base-running blunders in baseball history. And old Merkel would have fit right in with these buckos.
They gave up 41 runs in three games.
With their three best pitchers going.
That is what just jaws me the most about this entire situation. The three guys who arguably are a top three core, top of the rotation starting pitchers in the entire sport. I would put them up there top five with anybody. Really?
Well, it wasn't really them. I mean, they weren't
I know that,
great, but it was the bullpen.
Keller and Jones weren't good.
Oh, it was, this is just, it's. I can't believe it, although I can. And now the story is Derek Shelton. He's the story. Nobody survives this kind of losing. Nobody does. Two weeks ago, 10 days ago, I would have told you, I don't think Nutting has it in him to fire this guy. I don't think even him would want to pay somebody to not work, but he's done it before. He paid Neil Huntington and Clint Hurdle not to work. So now, 10 days, 14 days later, I'm convinced that Derek Shelton is going to go. Absolutely convinced of it. Nobody across the history of sports, unless somebody can come up with an example, there is no coach or manager ever in history who has survived this kind of losing over this many years with the same team and survived to tell about it.
Well, I think the difference between the last time we saw this with Clint Hurdle is that it seemed like everybody had just punted on the rest of the season and nobody wanted to be there anymore, and he had lost the clubhouse. Are we at the point where we think Derek Shelton has lost the clubhouse? I think we're getting there.
We're getting there. Greg Brown just called it one of the worst losses in 143-year history.
Yeah.
They just had a 10-game losing streak. Did you see O'Neill Cruz walk to first base in the ninth inning?
Oh, yeah.
On that grounder in second?
What I'm referring to is, didn't in that 2019 season, Keone, Kella, and somebody else fighting in the clubhouse? Wasn't that the year that people were fighting in the clubhouse and it completely got out of control?
Paul, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good. I was finishing up taping something in the back, and figured you guys would be able to handle the first few minutes without me.
Yeah, I was saying that the Steelers would be the story any other day. They just named their quarterback, but I can't help it. Play for him what Greg Brown said at the end of the game. This is unbelievable, Paul.
1-2 pitch. And one of the worst losses in the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates today. Historic.
And as I was mentioning, it might not have been the worst loss of the series.
Well, given the way that it happened, they were up and then they were down. And, you know what I mean? It's just amazing to me. We think about it.
Well, they weren't just up and down. They were up by seven.
I mean, they were down and then they were up and then they were. But here's I keep going back to this, Joe. How in the world did we get to a place where their bullpen is so bad?
I don't know.
I mean,
I don't know,
I mean,
but the story to me, now is Derek Shelton. Does he survive
Chapman?
I get it. Their bullpen stinks.
No, but
the whole team stinks.
I'm just like really trying to figure out, okay, how did we get to a place where they can't get anybody out their bullpen?
I don't know. The starter stunk too. Well, Skeens was okay, but the other starter stunk
okay.
In this series. But here's the question that we're opening with today. How does Shelton survive? No, nobody, as I was just saying, Paul, nobody in the history of sports that I know of. The closest I thought of was John McKay, who was 7-37 in his first 3 years as a Tampa Bay Bucs coach. But that was with an expansion team. Somehow he survived to year four. Give me somebody who's lost this much, this prodigiously over 5 years and live to tell about it. Anywhere, anytime in the history of sports.
Well, I mean, I would tell you they haven't, but I keep going back to this. I don't believe they're going to fire Derek Shelton.
I do now. Again.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. The only way that it's going to happen is if Ben Cherington has to save his job.
I mean, it would be a nutting ordered.
That's
move.
What I mean.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that that Ben Cherington would fire him.
No, he wouldn't. This would have to come from nothing.
So now we're going to figure out, because you know, there's certain people in town that claim that we're all crazy and that Bob Nutting really does want to win in his heart. He's very competitive and he really wants to win. Okay. Now we're going to find out if that's true. Because at the end of the day, if you have a business and you are the person that is in charge of the Pirates, for instance, and you're watching what has just happened over the last 2 weeks or 3 weeks, and you say, I'm going to sign up for another year of that, I got to wonder if you want to do it.
Again, somebody out there, text us, 412-928-9370. Call us. Any way you can get a hold of us, tell me who else survived this. And you could argue this is the worst year of Shelton. I would. The first 3 years, they were tanking. It doesn't matter. I don't even look at his record the first 3 years, although it is what it is, which was a million games under 500. Last year was actually looked as a little step forward. This year, the expectations, based on expectations which were raised to the point where they were a buyer at the deadline, that's why this is the worst year of all. It's only getting worse. He doesn't survive, Paul. I don't see him surviving.
Well, here's the other part of it.
I don't even know how much of this is his fault, but at some point it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, somebody,
nobody survives this.
Right, but the problem is the guy that is most responsible is going to survive.
Cherington.
Yes.
Probably, yeah.
He's going to survive.
Probably.
And I think that when you look at the from the big picture, and again, you know, it's 2024, and so it's an election year, so let's use the political thing. Ronald Reagan used to say, are you better off now than you were 4 years ago? Are the Pirates better off now than they were 5 years ago? Do you think that's a fair question?
Well, yeah, they're definitely better off because they have
Skeens.
Skeens and other pitching prospects and more talent, I think. I mean, yes. Yes, they are. But
I don't know that. I guess that's my problem. I really don't know that. It's just one of those things where I feel like if you really go over it with a fine tooth comb or something, you know what I mean? And compare now to like 5 years ago. Wow.
I wouldn't be surprised if it happened today after what happened last night. I'm being honest about that. If you just moved Don Kelly into that seat. I mean, where do we start with this series? Did you hear the stat I gave? 1,192 and
yes.
Nothing. And now it's one. I mean, with the 18 runs and the 8 stolen bases, with nobody in the stands yesterday, with Tuesday night people chanting for Rowdy Tellez to play, with a guy who just got waived in Michael A. Taylor swinging at a pitch 8 feet outside the strike zone in the ninth inning, and his average goes down to 193 with O'Neill Cruz jogging to first. And you notice Greg Brown subtly said right after that, he grounds out and trotted to first base.
Right.
You know what I mean? It was laughable. Going to Tellez to pitch again for the second time in 3 days. This is just done. It's over. That's the way I see it. You guys might be right because nothing that Bob Nutting does would surprise me. But again, for the 8 millionth time in this segment, nobody survives this. This would be new, I think, in the history of sports.
Right. Well, I mean,
can you think of a football coach, hockey, anybody?
I mean, what's the stat on Jim Mora with the Saints? But I think even he was better than this, wasn't he?
Well, let's go look it up. I'll take my first pause if you don't mind.
By the way,
the
bullpen has the second worst ERA in the National League. The only team worst, the team that plays in altitude, the Colorado Rockies.
No, Jim Mora walked in and started winning, Paul, like the Saints had never won before. He was in his second year. He was 12-3, then 10-6, then 9-7, 11-5, 12-4. Yeah, then he started losing prodigiously.
But look, he got fired then. Or he actually resigned, but he was going to get fired.
Yeah.
Yeah, someone pointed
out. There's no comparable. What'd they say?
Someone pointed this out to me, and I was looking at it, right? Ben Cherington was the Red Sox general manager for 2012, 13, 14, and 15.
Yeah.
And if you look at what they did in those years, why is he like referred to? Everyone's, he was really good GM back then.
I mean, he won a World Series. I think that's the thing they refer to.
In 13.
Yeah. And then they sort of went downhill and there was personality clashes and everything. A lot of people can't figure out why he took this job.
He was a general manager for 4 years there, right?
Yeah.
In three of the years, they finished 15 games or more out. And yeah, they won the World Series. Okay. I mean, I guess that, you know, buys you a lot of goodwill. But it's just weird to me.
I know. And maybe that World Series was you know, at least partially won with a team that was already there.
So.
But you know how it goes. The coach is always the first one on the chopping block.
But generally, isn't it the first thing they'd say is the assistants go?
Well, that's true. Hasn't he already changed one of those? I mean, it's too late for this. It's too late for this. The guy's a million games under 500.
No assistants have been moved. It was the director of international scouting
Andy Haynes replace? He hasn't been here the whole time, has he?
No, he did. He replaced somebody a couple years ago. Somebody else who was not good at their job. The other hitting coach that they had.
I don't remember who it was. This guy, here's one for you. This is the most damning stat of all on Shelton. They started 15-7 last year, and that's when he signed his extension at 15-7.
Right.
Since then, he's 27 games under 500.
Right.
It's just, this
How
is
long
it.
Is his extension for?
Nobody knows. It's a secret. They kept it a secret, which is unbelievable in and of itself. 412-928-9370. Off the top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. We're going to have John Parrotto talking about the Pirates today. We're going to do some college football. Got to take a look at the opening weekend for Pitt, West Virginia, Penn State. We're going to do a little time capsule on that. Jeff Hathorn going to join us later. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And our Steelers and Pirate reaction brought to you by Bet365. So I'm still trying to get over these three games, Paul. I think in 143 years, they've never had a more embarrassing series. Now, I wasn't here for a lot of that like Ron was, but I think...
They've had some.
They've had plenty. But you heard Brownie at the end of that game. I have never seen it like this. I can't believe they've reached a new bottom. And we'll see where it goes from here.
Rick Eckstein was the old hitting coach. Remember him?
Oh, yeah. Ecky, they called him.
Chelty and his nicknames, as caller Paul likes to talk about.
41 runs to the Cubs.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't like they played the Yankees.
Against the Pirates' three best starters,
right.
I might add.
That's the other part that I don't think we're talking nearly enough about.
Which part? The starters or the bullpen?
I mean, the bullpen is what it is. It's been horrific, but...
Well,
Jared Jones got lit up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Mitch Keller wasn't exactly stellar.
For the second straight year, he's starting to fade late, yes.
And Paul Skeens was good, but he was, I wouldn't call him, like, spectacular yesterday.
Did you see Livy Dunn tweeting at
the
end of the
game? Yes, how about that?
Did you see that?
Yeah, that broke me. She's one of us completely now. When Livy Dunn is tweeting, oh, no, with the Pirates and any association with Skeens and losses, you know it's not going well for Pirates fandom.
Yeah,
what exactly did she tweet? I think it was, you got to be kidding me with Skeens mouthing those words from a game earlier this season. You got to be kidding me.
Exactly.
She's an adopted Yinzer on the Allegheny River with a boat with Skeens and Jared Jones.
What must he be thinking? What must Skeens be secretly thinking right now?
I mean,
what did I get myself into here?
I think the biggest thing is,
what kind of circus is this?
The biggest thing is he's got to figure out, you know, now I guarantee you that they're going to figure out with him, okay, now it's time to start shutting him down. Look at his arm. You know, he's not hitting 102, 103 all the time anymore. You know. Yeah, I guarantee you we're going to see some. What was the kid that they put in there the other day?
I've lost track
Ben
of the
Heller.
Names. Old Heller. Yeah,
Heller.
He's back. Feigl. They cut him again.
Sent him
back to the minors.
The guy they had at start, and he got lit up.
Woodford.
Woodford. I guarantee we're going to see more Woodford starts.
Woodford reserve is gone.
Robert Woodford.
They cut him.
And they got rid of him.
I thought they sent him down.
Yeah, they sent him down to AAA.
Yeah, that's okay. Yeah, he's down to AAA.
Didn't he star in A River Runs Through It? Wasn't that filmed in Montana, Robert Woodford? Limits?
Are you talking about Robert Redford?
Yes, I am. It's a great movie, isn't it? A River Runs Through It.
Have
you
never seen it?
You should. It's a good father and son movie. It's wonderful.
Now I have three. Now they have three games against the Indians, right? That should go well.
Yeah, I'm sure the rest of the season's going to go well. I think this is it. Have you guys changed your percentages at all? I'm up to 95% that Shelton's done after this season, if not sooner. You? You still at 25?
I'm still at 25. I just don't
because,
see it.
Because Nutting won't pay a guy not to work, you mean?
But I also think that...
If they finish with a worse record than last year?
Yeah, I mean, but I really think that Ben Cherington is going to do everything in his power to protect him.
Cherington should feel lucky that he's not
right
on the chopping block as well. And by the way, if Nutting fired both today, nobody in baseball would blink an eye. It'd be like, well, what took so long? For a lot of people would say that. It just wouldn't be a surprise, especially coming off this series and especially coming off last night. Limits, where are you percentage-wise on Shelton returning?
I've moved up to 30. I still don't think that they're going to move off of him because I don't think they're going to move off of Ben Cherington. And to me, they're more of a package deal than people believe. And if it continues to get worse and worse and worse and worse like this, there's no choice but to fire Shelton. But what I would
How much worse can it? What do you mean if it keeps getting worse?
How can it get worse? They win 70 total games on the season. And you can tell that there is visibly a lot of distraught in the organization, and they are not at all playing for Shelton anymore. And I think we're right on the tip of the iceberg.
People up to and including John Wehner are already questioning their effort and have been for weeks. I just, after the 10-game losing streak and this series, how can it get worse? This is officially rock bottom of
the
Derek Shelton.
We're talking about the Pirates.
Here.
How can it get worse?
Well,
we've
yeah,
seen it
right.
over the last week.
You're right, but I don't think it has to. I think even Bob Nutting has to move on this.
Right. I'm just telling you, it's one of those things where if he wants to show people that he's really interested in winning.
I don't think that would do it. That wouldn't show anybody.
Put it this way. That would at least debunk the idea that he isn't. You know what I'm saying?
No, it wouldn't. People would still believe he's not interested in winning. They'd say he's using Shelton as a sacrificial lamb.
If he didn't have Shelton.
Yeah.
If he didn't have Shelton. Okay. I mean, if he didn't fire Shelton and he brought Shelton back, then he could absolutely not make the case. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm more with you when we talk about Cherington and what everybody says and what we all know and what is true beyond any argument is that this stops at Bob Nutting's desk, the whole operation. The disaster you're watching unfold before you is Bob Nutting's fault, first and foremost, and by far. You don't like Ben Cherington? Bob Nutting hired him. His best thinking brought him to Ben Cherington. You don't like Derek Shelton? Cherington hired Derek Shelton. Goes back to Bob Nutting. You don't like the payroll? Obviously back to Bob Nutting. Everything goes back to the owner's desk. It's his fault that this team, again, somehow goes from seller or buyer at the deadline to laughingstock again.
Yeah.
It's his fault. Period.
Do you see what Mark Cuban had to say today?
No, what'd he say?
So somebody commented and tagged Mark Cuban, John Linder. I talked with Mark Cuban about buying the team back in 2006. He loves the Pirates but says the owner will never sell due to their business model. And Mark Cuban quote tweeted it this morning and said, if someone offered you a job that paid $25 million or more per year to stand in Market Square and let the entire city of Pittsburgh yell at you, would you take that job? That job is owning the Pirates. Why would they sell? That is a fascinating comment from Mark Cuban.
That was the one he made years ago. He just repurposed it.
Pretty much, yeah.
And it's true in the end. It's just, it's irrefutable. And this is a new bottom. 412-928-9370. Somehow, some way, miraculously, the Pirates have seized the day after Mike Tomlin announces the Steelers' starting quarterback, after the Isaac Seumalo injury was announced, after Cam Hayward pipes up. What?
Correct me if I'm wrong. They just took 3 of 4 from the Reds, right?
Yeah.
And they're still behind them.
Yeah.
That's how bad this series against the Cubs were. And now they're 5.5 games behind the Cubs.
No, they're moving closer to having a realistic shot at the number one pick than they are to any sort of postseason or even not finishing in last place.
62 now and 71. 62 and 71 is what, 113? No, 123.
They have the fifth worst record in baseball.
No, 133.
Right.
133, so they have 30 games left. If they go 15-15, they're going to be 75 wins again, or that'll be 77 wins. What did they have last year? 76?
Which is better than last year.
What did they have, 76 last year?
Keep him. They got to win more. One win more than last year.
What did they have, 76 last year?
Yeah.
So is it realistic to think, okay, they could go 13 and whatever? They'll be exactly where they were last year.
Right. Since his extension early last season, he's 27 games under 500.
Here's the other thing. So they have 3 games against Cleveland coming up. They're good. 3 against Chicago, who just, you know, pounded them, and it's in Chicago.
Right.
So that's 6 games there. They play, Kansas City's pretty good, right?
Yeah.
They got 9, so that's 9. They play 4 in St. Louis, so that's 13. 3 against the Milwaukee and 3 against the Yankees. So that's like 17, 18 games that they would have to go 500 against and then win all the rest of their games in order to be, I just don't see it.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Listen to this show every Wednesday to hear about Starkey's Card of the Week from the Baseball Card Castle in Cranberry. Contests run every Wednesday through Friday at noon at the 93.7thefan.com contesting page. Somehow things keep getting worse for the Pirates. It's unfathomable, and it's, for me anyway, very difficult to imagine Derek Shelton returning next season. It's getting to that point when you have Greg Brown go on at the end of a broadcast on the final out and say one of the worst losses in the history of the Pittsburgh Pirates. And I could actually make an argument that it wasn't even the worst loss of the series. Then you got troubles. But Paul, before we get to the lines, I mean, there is huge Steeler news. Huge Steeler news. Isaac Seumalo apparently going to be out for a month. That's the headline in the Post-Gazette after a pec strain. This is horrible news, considering what has already happened with the offensive line. What do they do here? Just put Mason McCormick at guard? Do you move Fotanu to guard? This is bad. I'm starting to get a bad feeling, well, I already had one, about the Atlanta game, mostly because of the offensive line.
Well, I mean, the offensive line is a real problem. Ultimately, it might turn out to be a strength of the team, but I'm not sure how anybody could see all of these developments in this offseason so far.
Yeah.
And feel confident that from day one, the offensive line is going to be good.
And that's the thing, because day one is a very important day when your schedule after Thanksgiving or around Thanksgiving, assuming quarterbacks are still healthy for the opponents, that is a gauntlet unlike maybe we've ever seen the Steelers have. Maybe ever. So you got to bank wins early. And Atlanta is one that everybody already had banked, I think.
Well, I think the biggest thing about it is if you have, you know, 2 weeks even where your offensive line is bad, you've got a quarterback who takes a lot of sacks. Anyway, you could be staring in the face at two ugly losses.
You know the game plan going right into week one. It's going to be classic Mike Tomlin, and it might work because it's worked early in other seasons. When his defense is healthy and rested and ready to go at the beginning of seasons, they've delivered a couple of the best regular season defensive performances in the league the last couple years. 3 years ago, they crushed Josh Allen in Buffalo. 2 years ago, they broke Joe Burrow in half in Cincinnati. So maybe the defense delivers early here and the Steelers just hand it off 40 times
right
in game one and sneak away with a 13-12 win. That might be the way to go, by the way.
Which, by the way, it really doesn't matter what the final score is as long as they win.
Right.
You know, people get caught up in style points, but when you're a team like the Steelers who are trying to put together a bunch of moving parts and trying to figure out the right combination of players on offense to make it work, you just have to live with, you know, the fact that, hey, all we got to do is find a way to win.
I mean, it's a battle to survive now on the offensive line.
Right.
You've got... Well, let's say I don't even know who's going to be the right tackle. That's the thing. Is it going to be Fotanu or Jones? I don't even know who the left tackle is going to be. Is it going to be Moore or Jones? The center is going to be a rookie. Center is going to be a rookie. One of the guards might be a rookie. And this is a disaster.
Well, you're going to have, I hate to say it, but you're going to have Dan Moore at the left tackle. I don't think there's any question.
Right. So we start out with a bad left tackle.
So you're going to have Dan Moore at the left tackle position.
A rookie at left guard, a rookie at center, well, James Daniels, they and Fotanu or Jones.
What's his name? Spencer Anderson? Is that the guy's name?
For right tackle or guard? Is he a guard too?
For one of the guards. Last year, I think he was a rookie last year, so he's a second-year guy. But either him or the McCormick kid will be one of the guards that
right.
With Siomalo out. Frazier is a rookie, obviously, at center. Daniels will be he's a solid player. He's your right guard. And then you're probably going to have Broderick Jones at right tackle.
Yeah.
That's your line to start.
Would you consider moving Fatanu to guard? I guess it's too late for that.
Yeah, I don't know if he can play it or not. I would have to. That would be one of those things I'd have to figure out if he could actually play it.
It just doesn't make any sense that they would be good offensively early in the season. A new quarterback who's barely played in the preseason.
Yeah.
A reshuffled, rebuilt, young, banged up offensive line. No second receiver. Somebody called in or texted in and said, what about Marvin Lewis, comparing him to Shelty on my point that nobody's ever lost this much for 5 years and lived into a sixth year with the same team? Somebody said, what about Marvin Lewis with the Bengals? Well, let me tell you about Marvin Lewis with the Bengals. The year before he got there, they were 2-14. He went 8-8, then 8-8, then 11-5, and won a division. So forget about Marvin Lewis. Not applicable. Fan weather continues. The Chevy Summer Drive continues at Sun Chevrolet, up to $7,500 in rebates. Terms, conditions at sunchevy.com. High of 88 today with cloudy skies. And then, Paul, the anticlimactic announcement of Russell Wilson as the starting quarterback. Tomlin says it was a tough decision to make. What? The decision was made months ago. Wasn't a tough decision.
No, it wasn't a tough decision, and there was never any doubt about it.
The only thing I would say is that when Wilson was hurt with that calf injury and Fields was seemingly, from all reports, having a good camp, I started to wonder, has it crossed Tomlin and Arthur Smith's mind that if we want to go all in on this power run game, how about just having Justin Fields be the ringmaster here? Mm-hmm. And I also wonder if Fields may have moved up the timeline a little bit for Tomlin going to the bullpen if Wilson struggles. But then, you know, Fields, I thought, was kind of classic Justin Fields in the preseason, didn't you? He was doing some spectacular things, but he was also fumbling the ball. He was also never really seemingly in rhythm or on time, the offense. I don't know, man. I don't know how much he did to advance his case, honestly, in the end.
No. I mean, again, I have to look at it from the standpoint of what's realistic and what's not. You know what I mean? I think there's a lot of unrealistic discussion about all of this that goes on. And it's people talking themselves into certain things. You know what I mean? Like talking themselves into certain things are better than they actually are.
Yeah.
That's what happens when it comes to the Steelers all the time.
Now I see Dulac says Mason McCormick and Spencer Anderson to compete. We're going to have another. when does this competition start? The Sunday morning of the opener? What do you mean they're going to compete? Where's the time to compete at this point?
No game reps or anything. Just practice will be our guide, as Tomlin likes to say.
This is like the Pirates who don't know what positions their own players play. Who's the right tackle? When's the first game? 12 days? 13 days? When is it?
28th.
I don't know how to figure that out. It's 12 days away then?
11.
The season opener is 11 days away. Are we?
And you're going to have a
10 days.
You're going to have a wait. You're going to have 10 days away. Math. Here's the best part about it. Okay, you're 10 days away from the season, and you're going to have a rookie fourth round pick compete with a second year seventh round pick for one of your five starting positions on the offensive line.
We don't know who the right tackle is for the opener. We apparently don't know who the left guard is. Do we even know who the left tackle for sure is? And then I see this. Mike Tannenbaum says that Mike Tomlin has no chance at a winning record this season. If he gets one, he should go to the Hall of Fame on the bye week. Here we go again. Everybody jump on the merry-go-round. Here we go again. Let's see if Mike Tomlin can barely exceed the minimal expectations surrounding his team that he in large part has created. Let's see if that happens again. I can't take this anymore.
Yeah.
I really can't. And again, nobody asks, well, why are the expectations so low, Mike Tannenbaum? Do you ever look at that? Do you ever consider why nobody expects anything from Tomlin anymore? And then you're going to give him a gold jacket when he goes 9-8 because that's a half game over the expectation? Paul, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah, I agree.
I really can't.
We've talked about it a lot. The Steelers, well, Mike Tomlin, and specifically Mike Tomlin, is the only coach that I know who is given like credit and carte blanche based on what people perceive that he's done. Like, honestly, it was funny. I think it was Rich Eisen, who I like a lot, by the way. I think he's a really smart guy. He's not a hot take guy. He's an intelligent broadcaster. But it's clear that he's a big fan of Mike Tomlin, right? Remember last year he was scolding Steelers fans?
Yes.
For, you know, and then here's the thing. They lost a horrific game. What was the game they lost last year?
Take your pick. We had New England, Arizona, Indianapolis.
I think it was the Indianapolis game. And he said, well, you know what, Steeler fans, maybe I can start to see what you're seeing. But here's the thing. The perception, especially outside this market, and even among some people in this market who still, you know, they cling to this pipe dream that, you know, the Steelers are the big bad Steelers of the 70s and the, you know, whatever. The perception outside this area among a lot of these national guys, because Tomlin's really good in the national media scene, you know, and he's a young, still relatively young, hip kind of guy who, you know, the players love and all that other good stuff. Well, guess what? Their perception is that somehow, you know, that they've been winning Super Bowls in the last 10 or 12 years. They've been competing for AFC titles, and every year they're in it. They're not. I mean, really, since 2010, they've legitimately been an AFC title contender one time. And that time, they got skull-dragged by the Patriots in the AFC title game.
I'd like to ask Mike Tannenbaum. He says, this team has no chance to have a winning record. Just blow up the process. Give Tomlin the gold jacket if he has a winning record. I'd like to say, Mike Tannenbaum, when you say blow up the process, who do you think is most responsible for the process over these last many years? If you don't like the roster, do you know how huge of a say Tomlin has had in maybe a little less so in the last year or so, but all these years in that roster? If you don't like the quarterbacks, who do you think brought them here? If you didn't like Kenny Pickett, who do you think drafted him? If you don't like Matt Canada and his offense, who do you think hired him and doubled down on him? Come on.
Right.
Use your brain for a second. And Peter King would say the same thing. And of course, I have great respect for him. I remember him saying, man, Tomlin, is he going to do it again? That type of thing. You know, have another winning record, which is really a not losing record. He shows up at camp every year with these rosters that have all these problems. Well, he's complicit in that,
right,
people. In a big way.
But again, did you see the clip today from yesterday's practice, apparently? And somebody asked Mike Tomlin about the offensive assistants or something like that. Did you see that clip by any chance?
No.
And he said, it's incredible. He said the answer was, okay, the question was, Steelers Mike Tomlin was asked about Arthur Smith's involvement in the quarterback decision. Mike Tomlin's answer, to which, of course, I had something to say about on Twitter. A lot of input, but I don't run away from responsibility. Assistants make suggestions. Guys like me make decisions.
That's right.
Right?
And he says the same thing about the draft.
To which I tweeted out, of course, when those decisions don't work out, according to the, and I called them the Teflon Tomlin apologists, Somehow it's always the assistant's fault, the player's fault, the GM's right. fault, or someone else's fault. It's never Mike Tomlin's fault. And the people that sit here and say, oh, well, you're blaming Mike Tomlin because, you know, the Ben didn't have a good playoff game. You're blaming Mike Tomlin because this guy got hurt. You're blaming Mike Tomlin because, you know, the personnel was this and that and everything. It's like, well, hold up a second. Your entire argument in support of Mike Tomlin is based on them winning some games early in his career. Was it the players then? Was it the GM then? Or does Mike Tomlin only get credit for wins and not losses? And that's my problem with the whole discussion about Mike Tomlin. Because, again, I tweeted this out, and somebody, one of these people, of course, had to jump down my neck. I'm a Tomlin hater. I'm this. I'm that. I like Mike Tomlin. I think he's a great ambassador for the city. I think he's a really good face of the Steelers. I like the way he handles players. I like a lot of the things about that he does. I got no problem with him other than he doesn't win enough.
The Steelers don't win big games anymore.
He doesn't win enough. He's actually lowered the standard of the Steelers to back. It wasn't that long ago where it was, you know what? You're going to win the AFC, you got to get through the Steelers. Or, you know what I mean? If you have to play the Steelers in a playoff game, you're not happy about it. To the point now where the Steelers are just another, you know, gray, nameless, faceless, you know, team in the middle of the pack that nobody really cares about.
To the point now where national media line up like Mike Tannenbaum at the beginning of the season, literally saying, I'll give Tomlin a gold jacket if he goes 9-8. It's basically what he's saying. It's truly, I know I say this a lot, it's one of the most amazing phenomenons in all of sports. Almost as amazing as if Derek Shelton gets a sixth year.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.